Venus solution, of course. And you've got your computer set up there, I hope.
Yes, I do.
Got to Google anything you can find.
I'm Googling. I've got lots of information for you, Hassan. Just let me know when you're ready. We'll do this first.
I am ready anytime you want to. I also have some emails, actually, from people. There's this lady, she wants to know about her granddaughter, actually. And she's listening to us from Ottawa. And I'll just let her know that you'll be doing her child later on. She was born May 3rd, 1989, at 2112 in Medicine Hat, Alberta. We'll do that later on. In the meantime, if any of the listeners want to call us, you can call us at 1-877-876-5227.
And once again, that's 1-877-876-5227.
That's great. Okay, we all set here. Looking at some of us, we've got about like four computers here, all different charts, everything. So, Ingrid, we will talk about also different age groups, actually, today.
Okay, age groups. So we're talking about the 70s, the 60s, the 80s.
Yes, right from the 1901 to 1915, right from that time we'll start.
Okay.
It's really, really interesting. What I do is, you know, when I play the music, that music will also show something about that, too. It will time with that. Like when we talk about the Libra, for example, Libra stands for love. For when Neptune is in Libra, and this is a certain age group, like Yoni, Willie Jason, who were born in that 1942 to 1956 approximately. So that's that whole age group, and it's a very, very romantic age group. Like Taj Mahal was conceived as a monument to love. So that whole age group represents that, like this type of soundtrack. So you remember that is a sign of Libra.
So that's a Libra sign.
That's right. So if somebody has Venus in Libra, they'd be very much into fashion, clothing, cosmetics, jewelry, etc. Yeah.
That almost sounds sad, that song.
Actually, I'm glad you picked it up. They're fantastic. You're absolutely right. Because when you play, this one is pure Libra.
So that one's pure Libra, and the other one was not.
That's it. Yeah, that's right. So this one is just Libra. Now, this one has a bit of a Piscean overtone to it. Because later on, I'm just going to progress it a little bit. So it has a little bit of touch of that Piscean, like a sweet sadness to it, like a pathos to it. So beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It's beautiful.
Can you hear it still?
Yes.
So that's that. And you see, the people wouldn't even realize how easy astrology is. There are only 12 signs, and you have these somewhere in your chart. Everybody has this love theme and a sadness theme somewhere in the chart. Everyone. You can't say, oh, I hate this sign, I hate that sign, because you've got it somewhere in your chart.
So and when I say, let's just say, for example, Ingrid she notices me, that I normally don't get along with a lot of Virgos. Why is that, Hassan? I don't say that I hate them. I just know for a fact that I don't actually get along with them.
So if you were to live with yourself, aren't you a Virgo?
I am. I love myself. But it's funny, and it's not even the female Virgos. It's mainly the male Virgos.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, your rising sign is what, Gemini, or? I'm trying to remember your rising sign. We'll figure that out.
Do you have my chart there?
See, whatever, the one?
You've got my chart there.
Which column do you read, usually?
You know what, Hassan, I don't have my book here.
In the Moon Magic, okay.
Yes.
The thing is, you know, in your, whatever is your 12th house, that is the one usually. I like your secret love affairs and secret enemies. I like your secret, like obsessions.
Right.
So that is normally the thing. But
actually, it's funny that you say that, because I know the one Virgo, that male, for example, he's 3 days ahead of me in September birth date wise.
Is that the same year?
No, he was much older. But he told me that I resembled one of his old girlfriends. So I think that might be a connection why he.
No, but you have Venus in Virgo, you know, so it's interesting. The people who have some Virgo planets, you're supposed to like people who have some Virgo planets. In fact, people who have some Leo planets, you know, one of the best health aspects for you, Dr. Wolf, has a lot of Virgo planets, even though he's a Leo, but he's got a lot of Virgo planets. Well, actually, he is a Virgo. So, but you can't just generalize like that. You have to be very careful.
You have to be very careful. So when somebody says, oh, I hate Pisces, or when you go to Chinese restaurants and they have those placemats, and they say that you only get along with these three years.
Well, there are certain things, and there are certain choices, because that's what astral matchmaking is all about, you know, when you actually compare people's charts and to see how they get along. But generally, you have all the signs somewhere in your chart. Like, wherever there is Pisces, is the most inspirational side of you.
Right.
If you have it in the fourth house, the home, you will live near the ocean, near the water. In your case, it's part of the ninth and tenth house. Ninth house is spirituality. It's exactly Pisces. And the tenth house is your career. And Pisces, this is happening because you're excellent with children, with old people, with little pets. My God, you have Georgia and Blake and so much attention.
Which I miss dearly today. Because they're not with
they're
me.
They're little Maltese, right?
Yes.
They are gorgeous, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank
but
you.
That's a Piscean theme. And,
really?
Right, yeah. And also, of course, acting. When you put that fantasy on the screen, that's a Piscean theme. So without the Pisces, you wouldn't have that element. There's always an aspect of, if you're never satisfied in that area, or if you're never really sure, there's a bit of a deceptive theme about it. And when you project fantasy on the screen, that's a Piscean theme. But your Aries, you have Moon in the sign of Aries, for example, in the 10th house of career. And that's where it pioneers, like when your beginning is actually in your career. It starts from the 10th house, and you're in the limelight, and it's not just a limelight theme, but this area that you're a very good promoter, you initiate. And that gets you going, and also it's part of your 11th house of all your well-wishers, and when you're in a party, for example, when you meet people, that's part of the Aries theme.
I see.
Wherever there is Taurus, you'll have a lot of stability, like it's part of your 12th house. And also part of the 11th house. You'll know a lot of people in the restaurant business or
mm-hmm.
antiques and old things.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the Taurus theme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also part of the 12th house. 12th house is secret love and secret enemy. People can give you, who can undermine your interest. Even people who have some Venus and Taurus, for example, you might be really obsessed with them, but you'll also have sleepless nights because of them. It can even be your husband sometimes.
Really?
But the Taurus part, it also indicates hidden assets for you. You might have something which you do not realize, but it's part of when you have these assets. Sagittarius is part of your 7th house of marriage, the ideal complement to your personality, those who are philosophical, people from foreign countries, foreign lands, foreign people, foreign places. And you also have Capricorn, when the husband is in building construction, and you people have this, 10,000-15,000 square feet of that beautiful, beautiful, all the molding and ceiling things. And
thank you.
That's all that Capricorn team.
Yes, my husband is very talented. He's been doing it for 18 years, and I guess that's part of my theme, and that's probably one of the reasons I was so interested in what he had to do.
Yeah, and these are type of things that we'll be talking about today. And the thing is, you know, that when you're, like, for example, there's a certain temperamental balance that you'll find. And for example, you say that everyone is born with planets in certain signs. And the number of signs in each element, we call it elements, like fire, earth, air, and water, that determines your temperamental balance.
And so everybody has this in everybody's chart.
That's right, because there are these 10 different planets, and you have to see, including, the Sun and Venus also, we just call it planets. And you have to see, for example, like in your case, for example, you have Moon in Aries, you have Mercury in the sign of Leo, and you have Neptune in Sagittarius. So of course, the whole generation was born Neptune in Sagittarius. So your generation, the music that we actually play is exactly your generation, that entire generation theme. It's a very philosophical generation.
Do you have a sample of that?
I will just play.
Just try to get that?
Yep, I'll just play that for you, right?
So this is basically for all of...
It is the same. And we are back to the show with interest. So this is a Sagittarius theme. When you think of it, when you think of Flamingo, when you think of foreign countries and foreign lands. So the whole age group is very, very philosophical. Isaac Newton was born with Neptune in the sign of Sagittarius and the law of gravity and all these things. Something helps the masses, and when you think about the cosmos, he's very much into astrology. And there's a famous quote from him. His pupil was Herschel, the Uranus is named after him. And he asked him, he said, and who's the one, he's the one who calculated the trajectory for Halley's Comet, actually. It's Halley, not Herschel. And so he asked him and said, do you really believe in astrology? And Newton said, apparently, I studied it, sir, you have not. That's the famous quote, actually. But Abraham Lincoln was born with Neptune in Sagittarius, and so was Martin Luther King. So the entire age group had that Neptune in Sagittarius theme. But it's a freedom-loving, freedom of thought, different religions, truths in every religion. It's not a dogmatic sign at all. So your whole age group is like that. So if you had Venus in Sagittarius, you'd be very much like a free bird, as opposed to a wife. You would want to be have a new companion all the time, and you'd be always after that, which you lose capture.
So would you say it would be like a decade of every age group? Is
it
that one that changes every decade?
Well, if you, for example, from 1915, it's about 15 years approximately. It's like a 165-year cycle. So it can range from 12 to 15 years.
I see.
So, for example, Neptune was in Cancer from 1901 to about 1915, and Cancer is a sign for the home. And when you think of it, you think of Walt Disney, who was actually born in that age group. Also, the one who writes children's stories?
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss, that's right. And, he's from a different age group.
Is he?
Yes, I'm just, there were a lot of them, you know, from that age group. But let me actually pick up one of my moon magics here. You can tell the listeners about our moon magic, what it does, actually. In the meantime, I'll look in here. Ingrid.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. You cut out for a minute.
So you can, I see. You can tell people about our thing. But our moon magic.
Our moon magic. Yes.
This is, it's exactly what would make anybody in Australia in about 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes. I mean, it's
we just printed some more, by the way. Yeah, we were completely sold out. We just printed a few more. So
if anybody's interested, they could actually still purchase one. Is that correct?
Yep. And they can call 416-497-9000. That's our number. Or just go to astrotrends.net. You can order online. So this generation, see, the Neptune Cancer, they have a very strong sense of family values, and they're protective of their loved ones and all. And their inspiration is drawn from home and family and tradition. That's why they encourage these family values and an innate appreciation for children's needs. Dr. Seuss was born with that, that's right. And Walt Disney.
Yeah, that's who I thought, Dr. Seuss, correct, yes.
Yeah, and Ed Sullivan, Vivian Lee also, Mark Twain, Lucille Ball, Lorne Green. So when you think about even Bob Hope, right, when you don't like family type of movies and all that, so that whole age group was that. Then after that was the age of, Neptune went to Leo. And from about late 1415, right to about 1929, this was the age of golden movies.
Right.
Now, if I play the music, you'll know right away what I'm talking about. Remember, as an age group, the age of the golden movies.
Okay.
Because of the show business aspect, so this is it. Just the dramatic theatrical style music, that's exactly Neptune Leo. So these were the real stars, you know, all the satin sheets and the true Hollywood style. Asian gold movies, and many great actors were born during that generation, and they lived like stars. They were charismatic, and they loved the pomp and have a natural sense of drama. And Marilyn Monroe was born that. Liberace was born that.
Actually, that's one of the charts I wanted to talk about today.
Oh yes.
Yes, I would love to. She was born June 1st, 1926, which of course you know because you wrote a whole documentary on her.
Yeah, she was born that. Chavion was born that. Pierre Trudeau, Maria Callas. John F. Kennedy, Queen Elizabeth II also. So with Marlon Brando, there's something very Walter Cronkite, and there was a certain dignity about these people. You know, Frank Sinatra was also born with that. That whole age group was that. And they had to be very careful these 2 months, by the way, June, July, of heart, actually, all those people.
Now, we're talking about Marilyn Monroe's age group.
That's right, that whole 1915 to 1929. And then you had the age of, it's almost like a suffering, the blues generation. When Neptune went into Virgo, that's 1930 till end of 1942. And that whole age group has that pathos about them. And they had, these are people like Liz Taylor, Robert Redford, Willie Nelson. They were true like master craftsmen in many aspects. Elvis Presley also was born there, Bruce Lee, James Brown, even Woody Allen. And people actually almost want to pay to be in his movie. There's no $20 million for him at all. You know, it's very classic. But that whole age group is into all of these, not really drugs, but like, marijuana and all these things, the weeds and all. Like
right.
Really nothing is a perfect example. So, but they're also very much into herbs and the natural remedies. And I find that and antidepressants and all of them had that problem, actually. But and all these suffering, even the World War, you know, all these people, they really suffered a lot. But the whole blues, like New Orleans, for example, is that age group. And then the Libra generation is 1943 till 1956. This age group, of course, as I said, like Yoni and Julio Iglesias, is the most romantic generation. And as I said, Taj Mahal was conceived as a monument to love. and I should have this music playing in the background, so you'll be
okay. Let's listen to it.
To that. While I'm
and what is the age group of this year?
This is 1943 to 1956. That entire the idealized beauty, and they respond to art and love and aesthetic surroundings. The Yoni, Pierce Bronson was born with that. Julio Iglesias, you know, Da Vinci was born with that, and of course the whole Renaissance. That's the whole Renaissance period. Jackie Chan was always laughing and smiling. All that, he was born with that. Jane Seymour was born with that. I met her actually. I did a chart and everything. And Spielberg was also born with that, and that the whole age group. Poor Derek was born with that. She was known for that, of course. Richard Gere, and of course Bill Clinton, and even Prince Charles born with that. But they do have a strong sense of fairness and justice. That entire age group. Then those who were born 1957 to 1969. This age group has that Godfather theme, you know, Neptune and Scorpio. And you remember the music that we played last time?
Yes. Yes, I do. Very Godfather-ish.
In the beginning, for a little while, I'm going to play the same music over and over again, and then later on, because I've got about like 100 variations of each one of them. But slowly, slowly, we'll get into that, yeah. This one is by Foster Papetti, who's playing that. The vows of love we made, we live until we die. That's when you have Venus in the sign of Scorpio.
That's funny, because my husband was born in 67.
Yes. That whole age group of 60s is going through a very stressful period right now. They tend to exaggerate all the negative themes right now. Till approximately about mid-July, the things easily can become like a nightmare. So they have to be extremely careful. So you'll have to be more understanding, my dear, to be overly sensitive.
Well, I guess that's what a wife has to do, is be very sensitive to her husband when he's going through that period.
That's right. only till about mid-July, that's all.
Until mid-July, and then I can just become myself again?
Absolutely. Okay. Then you get it. Your generation. So, Princess Diana was born with that. So,
another chart that I'd like to talk about later on, yes.
Yep. Real extremist generation, extreme spirituality.
And she was born July 1st, 1961, yes.
Yeah, and the preoccupation with thrillers and leather and hard rock and drugs and ghosts and occult and tantra. There's no sense of the sacred. They're completely oblivious also to imminent danger. If the danger is about to happen, they're completely ignored, like JFK Jr. and Princess Diana. Michelangelo was born with that and made all these, news in Sistine Chapel, Madonna, love scenes on the altar. And Michael Jackson was also born with that. He's been an extremist too. And Maria Presley and Sarah Ferguson, I think she's the one who really corrupted Diana, actually, unfortunately. It's totally. So, and Jim Carrey was born with that. He can play some really weird roles. Demi Moore, Van Damme, even the words, blood sport, you know. And Mike Tyson was born with that. Bin Laden was also born with that, actually. So it's an extreme of this theme. But it's interesting, you know, they do a bunch of hard drugs and everything, but they were actually quite truthful. Like when they get, if they were caught with some drugs, they would admit, yes, we were. So they won't charge you as you see. But it is an extremist aspect, yeah.
Right.
If you go to their website, it's all like black and deep burgundy. Like the color of Dracula.
Yes.
Very intense. To them, the previous generation appears almost mushy. So, each one of them is almost like an antithesis of the previous one. They are almost exact opposite. Like that one was such a strong sense of fairness and justice, and the Libra generation, the 1943 to 1956, the Neptune Libra generation was very sort of milder into cooperation and all that, whereas the Scorpio generation, that's 1967 to 1969, the Neptune was a Scorpio, it's like Harley Davidson's and bikers and. But mind you, when Hell's Angels was incorporated, Mars was in Leo at that time. And there was a Mars-Pluto conjunction. Pluto is a sign of Scorpio. That's why the skull and bones is part of their label. But the Leo is like the kings. Like the best gangsters. Like the most famous.
Like the best gangsters.
The what?
Like the best gangsters. So it's a very Godfather theme.
That's right. But still the Leo theme. It's like a royal aspect, you know. And then you have the 70s generation, of course, the 1970s and 1984. So 1957 to 1969, anyone who was born in that generation, they'll definitely have to be very careful for the next 3-4 weeks for this extreme aspect. And a bit of a nightmare theme. after the Mars Neptune aspect going on in the chart. And Mars is in Leo, so in driving, no drinking and driving, that's one theme. In November, they'll be getting it again. That'll be a much more difficult one. They'll have to be very, very careful of it. You get caught up in the dark alleys and black cars with all tinted, like all
these. You have to be very, very careful.
Phobias, yes. Or you're, for example, you're in the swimming pool and you see that the shark is following you and start imagining all kinds of very strange paranoia.
But which could turn true.
There is some aspect. That's why I tell people, do not trust, do not go to any tarot card readers at this time. All that is very strange. It's really pleasant. You're psychically very vulnerable, and whatever you do becomes an obsession, and your immune system the body is reduced. So if you need any surgeries and all that, it's not the best time, because the doctor do not take into consideration that your immune system might be different at that time.
So whatever you do, focus on, to make it an obsession, you should actually focus on the positive.
Yeah.
Like family.
That's right. Now, mind you, certain people were born with it. Like, for example, Beethoven was born with that. Mick Jagger is born with that. Many people, whether they are drug addicts or many musicians, become like that also. Publisher Randolph Hearst was born with that. His daughter, Patty, she was kidnapped. So because Neptune also has some children. George Patton, the World War hero, but he witnessed a lot of mass destruction in World War II, and he wrote about it a lot. Oscar Wilde, such a brilliant fellow, but so many scandals. Then the infamous Hollywood gossip columnist, Hedda Hopper, was born with that. Queen Elizabeth II, she saw a lot of scandals with her children. Ted Kennedy, his Secretary Brown, that's a theme. In the list it was addictions. Jim Baker, of course, evangelist. And also Copernicus, and proving that the Earth revolved around the Sun, became like a nightmare because of church. Alfred Hitchcock was born with that. And, of course, he shared his nightmares with everybody else and made millions from that.
So which a lot of people do dream like that, yes.
Yes. Edgar Hoover was born there. And George Bush was born there. All these COVID activities and mass murders and all that, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know if that's a good thing for George Bush, so.
I know. Nostradamus was born with that. And that's why I feel we see many of the things that he did. At some point, we're going to talk about him, because I've written about him, actually, that people don't realize. I believe that he had a tumor, actually. And it's like a benign tumor, but every time he got touched off, he used to get all these. Like a doomsday prophecies, And he's got a really violent temper and that, and all that he just expressed in words, that this will happen, and fire, and all these themes, and that people keep on taking. So these are the main aspects. So 1970 to 1984, that generation, like Justin Timberlake, and Natalie Portman is born with that. It's a very, as I said, philosophical type generation, very humanitarian generation. And just like the 60s is a very extremist generation, this one is much more broad-minded and much more versatile and very much into other universes. They're fashioned by the other galaxies. And psychic fairs were first held in 1970 and 71. That's exactly as soon as Neptune went to Sagittarius, the first ever psychic fairs were done. And now it's become, of course, like a psychic zoo.
Right. Many people are making themselves out to be a psychic, and they're not.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln was born. The Queen Victoria was born. That her rule lasted for 60 years. That's
really?
When they used to say that the sun never set in the British Empire. That was her time, actually. Lincoln was born that. Drew Barrymore was born that. And that Phoenix, what's his name? Joaquin Phoenix. He was born. Edgar Allan Poe was born that. And Katie Holmes was born that same generation.
That's Prince right. William. We talked about her a couple of weeks ago. You're right.
Yeah. Prince William is also born with that. So it's very interesting. The Neptune and Capricorn is a very interesting generation. And this generation is from 1984 to about 1998. And because Neptune is in Capricorn, see, Capricorn stands for building and ancient structures. And these people are, and Capricorn rules the kind of skin, teeth, and bones. So in dermatology, you'll find that. They have a fascination for dinosaurs and paleontology and all these bones of dinosaurs and all that. They're very much into that. But also, when they take natural, like a geological revolution will happen when Pluto moves into Capricorn, you'll see, from November 2008 onwards. And all the artificial earthquakes, artificial weather patterns, and unfortunately, instead of trying to make the whole desert full of, the rain, etc., they will try to use it to create storms in places for war, unfortunately.
I've heard of that, yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, that harp thing, you'll find that a lot, yeah.
No.
But Leo Tolstoy was born with that, also Andrew Carnegie was born with that, and Lindsay Lohan was born with that also. Red Cross founder, Clara Barton, was born with that. And Louis Pasteur, the Industrial Revolution, happened also. And
And now, how about the generation that's being born right now?
Okay, then after that, 1998 to 2012, now they are accident prone right now. It's this very futuristic generation when Neptune was at Aquarius, isn't it? Aquarius. This is what I call the animated age of the movies, exactly opposite to the age of the golden movies when Neptune was in Leo. And a symbol of that was, you remember the roaring lion, because Leo is a lion, and Neptune is like a fantasy aspect in the film industry. So that was a perfect symbol of MGM. Whereas Neptune Aquarius, Aquarius is the opposite sign of Leo, that's a digital technology. And I predicted that during this period, you will see especially with Marilyn Monroe, for example, completely new movie, all with Nicole Kidman, like a digital actors, and completely new new songs sung by Elvis Presley, for example. But unfortunately, that technology is going to be very, very dangerous if the military gets hold of it also, and unfortunately, they always do. And this is just the unfortunate aspect. Now, we seem to be just dictated by Vega the first time, then all these, like, virtual, instead of virtual teachers, you'll have virtual strippers first. That's an unfortunate thing.
Actually, we are already seeing that. It was at the Grammys. We saw that. We've seen it on many other forms of technology, on other films. We always see the holographic actors and the singers. So, like you almost talked about last time, a couple months ago, actually, you mentioned that we're going to be in concert and we won't even know that the actual singer is there or not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've got the technology now that's coming up. So it's a very, really fascinating generation. But it's this generation of iPods and emails and MSN age group.
Right.
It's all electronic age group. That's exactly what you're seeing. Then after that, it goes into Pisces. When it goes into Pisces, it's the most spiritual aspect. It's after from 2013 onwards.
But that's not to say that if you do have a child now, that they won't be spiritual.
Well, right now they will be, because 1998 to 2012 is a very humanitarian aspect. Like,
yes.
That brings everybody together. These people have no biases like that at all.
Right.
But everything is in a virtual aspect, virtual therapists. They're seeing the computer, for example. And the therapist comes up there, they relate that to that mind. They have their own world, a complete virtual world. On MSN, for example, there are 40 people online, for example, and they're keeping just talking to each other. And they're there before. And young kids.
Yes, it's younger and younger. That's what it's getting to. But Hassan, I have a couple of actors that I'm actually interested in asking you about. So I have one that I'm not going to actually tell you the name of this one. I'm just curious to see the chart of this person. He was born May 2nd, 1972, and he was born in Hayward, California.
1972?
1972. Yes. He's one of my, how shall I say this, very admired actors.
Got a very, he's got a brilliant mind. He's got Mercury in the sign of Aries. You know, George Clooney, he's also a Taurus. But this is a different chart, though. There's a Mercury in Aries aspect to Uranus, which makes him quite a brilliant person himself. In fact, Warren Beatty has Mercury in Aries, too. He has Venus in Gemini, like Rudolph Valentino. So it's not the most faithful placement. And you wouldn't know his time of birth, would you?
I do not. It doesn't say
because he's
biography.
Not only going to be an actor, I think he's going to become a director himself also later on.
Really?
Yeah, because he likes to be his own boss. That's why he's very... very very flexible in terms of love matters, relationship. But as I said, Valentino was born Venus in Gemini.
Right.
They love a person who is they're a bit wimpy in love matters. They like to be the aggressive type of women. But the most important thing for them is the communication part with the person. It's very, very important for them. Like Shakespeare was born Venus in Gemini. He has Moon Capricorn, very close to Jupiter, which gives a mass appeal. But there's a certain quiet, a certain aspect of... they definitely have this theme of... Like Elvis had that, he had Moon Pisces after Saturn. But Moon Capricorn is when they do not show the emotions too much. So it gives a certain amount of seriousness, and which many actors seem to have also. Do I know the person?
Well, his real name is Dwayne Douglas Johnson, and his stage name is The Rock. So do you know who he is? He was an actual wrestler turned actor.
I see.
He's very
but
much.
You know what's interesting? Many boxers have Mars in Gemini. Like that, the back fellow, I forgot his name. He had Mars in Gemini. But Gemini is a hand. And Mars has to give it is actually quite an athletic placement. But
yes.
He's got a Mars Pluto square, which is a very violent aspect to it, like uncontrollable energy.
Right. He's a very, very, very fit actor. I mean, many women just swoon over him.
I see. Yeah. That's also it, like Rudolph Valentino.
Exactly.
He's not into commitment, actually, you know.
Pardon?
He's not really into commitment.
Really?
But he's just, it's not really.
Interesting. We'll have to let his wife know about that.
Of course, I don't know the time of birth, and it's not an emotional aspect, but it's like a preacher. Like, so when he's convinced about something, he's actually no doubt in his mind.
Right.
So I want to do this other, and by the way, in his chart, this year he is getting into commitment from this July onwards to about next summer. It's a very positive aspect. Also, he's got a lot of discipline this year because he's a very impatient person. He's got a brilliant mind, but he gets bored fast. So right now, to about July, August, he's got excellent discipline to be able to finish what he starts, the long-term contraction matters. He does have that theme. And now the other thing I was talking about, this other lady, her granddaughter was born.
Yes, let's talk about her before we get into more actors.
May 3rd, 1989, at 9:12 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And where was she born?
Alberta, yeah. She has Mercury in Gemini and Venus in Taurus. That's so interesting. Mercury in Gemini, close to Jupiter, is an exceptionally bright child. So the Mercury-Jupiter conjunction. And Venus being the sign of Taurus, along with Taurus, is a very feminine placement. It reminds me of Victoria's Secrets and laces and the color pink and, old-time historical things and old-time chivalry, for example. So it's a beautiful chart, an exceptionally bright girl, very good in languages also. Will pick up languages very fast. And the only thing she has to be careful is near the stomach area. She's got this bit of an action configuration and allergies, but near the stomach area. But I think it applies more to financial matters, like financial accidents from time to time. Her rising sign is Scorpio, so very intense, deep blue eyes, probably. And not deep blue eyes, but intensity of ash eyes. Scorpio is very much into it. There's a bit of a secretive sign, but it's really a nice child. And but she'll have to take yogurt as she grows up, because she has acidic in her stomach, actually. And a bit prone to allergies. From time to time, she's a bit more accident-prone. And the fact that we are talking about her right now, the planets seem to be right on top of her chart right now.
And what about the future? What do you see in her studying?
Well, she's very versatile. She'll do several things and do them well. She'll actually work in conjunction with her husband also. She'll be very good at marketing as well. Very nice chart, actually. And she does have a Jupiter. Yeah, Jupiter Mercury is exceptionally bright, very broad-minded and quite intellectual, actually. And they can talk like a house on fire.
Wow. I'm sure her grandmother is proud of that.
Actually, her grandmother is a Scorpio, actually. Very interesting.
That's fantastic. Were there any other questions that her grandmother had about her?
The what?
Was there any further questions that her grandmother had about her chart?
No, she just wants to know a little bit about her, you know?
Yeah.
Now, by the way, as I said, everyone is born with certain, like, with all the different planets and different signs, so that shows your temperamental balance.
Yes.
So hard to compensate for an element. So if you lack fire signs, then you have to do some activity and exercises, or take up salsa dancing, for example.
To get the fire started, basically.
Say what?
So it basically gets the fire started.
That's right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Like you and I, for example, both have Mercury in a fire sign. So that gives us energy. And
we just show up on the dance floor. We don't even have to do anything on the dance floor, you and I, right?
Maybe, like it's enough that Mercury in the sign of Sagittarius, but it's trine to Pluto and Moon. So it's a double grand trine. Actually, I've got like 8 grand trines in my chart. But Pluto, to me, gives a certain depth. It gives like a bit of a Scorpio theme. I'm not a Scorpio in Sagittarius, actually. But Mercury-Pluto, having that Mercury in Sagittarius gives a versatility. So also, as you know, I'm a composer and I play several instruments, and you've heard me, right? Different musical instruments and art and... Black belt taekwondo, I fly planes, I speak different languages, I'm an engineer by profession, so all these things, but I would not be able to finish it unless I had that Pluto aspect, also gives a depth. The moon Pluto gives a subconsciousness of truth, and I actually get these, these prophetic dreams actually a lot. So you compensate for that, so there's a certain, you cannot just become like a fire sign, but doing activity, traveling, etc., it does help. If you lack the earth signs, then you need to get close to nature and the rocks and gardening. If you lack the air signs, which is important for sense of humor, then you need to mingle more with others and get into conversations and read jokes and stimulate your sense of humor. Otherwise, you become too like boring and work-oriented 9-to-5 routine. If you lack water, which is a sensitivity, they need to attend the family gatherings and take bubble baths and swim or go into whirlpool and become sensitive to others. Like you become, you need water. And that, or you know, when you go to a cemetery, for example, it also makes you much more sensitive to others.
Yes, very
and
spiritual.
And the family gathering. Yes. But the ocean, the water, that definitely makes person more sensitive also. So
that's good. So we've done her chart. And let's, I just want to move on to Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, December 30th, 1975.
I do have his chart, actually.
I know you have his chart.
I'll go into this research program, and in this one, I just pull up his chart. Tiger.
We're just wondering, actually. I had a friend wondering how he's doing, somebody who's in the golfing industry, because, you know, the golfers are all worried about him and his father passing and how he's doing. And, you know, he was basically the motivator behind Tiger. Well, I mean, Tiger does motivate himself.
Which is nice to hear that, even though he's a bit of a mama's boy, he's got Virgo Libra, so he's a bit shy, actually, but very deeply passionate. He's got Mercury in Capricorn aspect to Saturn. The Mercury Saturn is not the worst out of placement at all, but they keep on practicing and practicing and practicing until they get it right.
Right.
So that aspect was very, very strong in this chart. He's got another about 5 years ahead of him. In about 2 years' time, a couple of years, he's coming to a point where he needs to consolidate his position. And next year is going to be fantastic for him, actually. End of this year, throughout next year, he's got a very, very lucky period again. When Jupiter touches with Mars. When he first won these awards, the first Masters, I predicted that, actually, you know, Moon Magic, that he would definitely, because that time Jupiter was right on top of the chart. See, Mars is a planet of many army people have it, or people into sports are born with that. That's Mars right on top of the chart. And he's born with that. And again, Mars in Gemini, just like this actor. It gives a certain flexibility also, actually. But he's got this obsessive thing in his chart. He's got a Mars-Neptune aspect. Makes a person extremely obsessive. Pluto was going over his moon. And moon represents your home, your family. And Pluto's exactly in his fourth house, which is like a home life being completed. It's like a major upheaval there. His father passing away was probably a part of this theme.
Yes, it was, definitely.
Because a major change in his... Or as you said, all those, these are events which are beyond one's control. They won't happen in this home environment.
Now, you do have this chart online, correct?
I do.
Now, I was wondering if you could compare it to his wife's chart, which her name is Elaine. And it's January 1st, 1980. Yes. And just from a woman's perspective, just curious on getting some juicy gossip.
Sorry, what was the date?
It was January 1st, 1980.
1980.
Yes.
He's basically, by the way, a one-woman man. Now, she has Venus in Aquarius. They're very, very different. Actually, she's going through a bit of a trying period right now, a bit of a testing period in relationships. And but she's very, very independent. But he's not now here. She has Uranus in Scorpio, which touches off his Venus. It does stimulate the passion side. She has Mercury in the sign of Sagittarius, like Katie Holmes, actually. And very close to Neptune, so she must be very understanding. Even though he's a Capricorn, and she's also a Capricorn, but she thinks like a Sagittarius, so she's very versatile. She has Mars Jupiter conjunction also, which many athletic people are born with that, or people who, like gamblers, are not born with that when you check on. But that might be part of a seventh house of marriage, so the husband is like that. Very, very much health conscious also, actually. But she's going through a bit of a testing period right now.
Really?
Yes, and his chart shows from this July, August, to about next July. But this summer is quite lucky for him.
Well, I was actually just interested in a little bit of juicy gossip to see when actually they were going to start having children.
Actually, maybe that's what it is, because her chart is showing a bit of a celibacy period. So instead of separation, divorce, it's actually a child.
It could be
and
a child.
He would be a fantastic father, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. So this summer onwards, it shows very strong luck. In fact, she's got an amazing aspect right now for the children. Very, very lucky here, actually. She's actually born in full moon. So this, right to about September, October, I would think that she might get pregnant. She's not the most fertile sign. She has Venus in the sign of Aquarius. They're quite independent, as the people are always more interested in having children.
So then we're going to be expecting a small little Tiger Woods very shortly.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sure that child will be a very beautiful golfer, being that the mother is a model and the father is a very famous athlete.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes. You're now, speaking of athletes, here's one that I'm quite interested in, and a lot of the ladies are. His name is Tony Parker, and he plays basketball, and his birthday is May 17th.
May 17th, yeah.
1982. And he plays with the San Antonio Spurs.
You know, I have this chart somewhere, actually, because I have about 2,600 charts of basketball players, actually, so every team there. He has, well, he has Venus in Aries, Saturn, so he likes actually all the women and all. He's got Mercury in Gemini, very versatile. And he has Mars in Libra. See, the Libra part, from about September onwards this year, this September, October, he does not have a Mars, Jupiter. So he's not really a gambler. There are certain players who are like real gamblers.
Uh-huh.
I don't see him being like that. But this September, October to about next summer is very positive for him.
It's funny that you say that he really likes older women, because I know you don't really necessarily follow the Hollywood aspect, but he is dating, I don't know if you know this, Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives. And I'll give you her birth date, and then you can compare their chart and
okay.
See if there's any marriage aspect on the
well,
way.
Well, he's very much in a commitment this year, actually.
He does, so that's probably
yeah.
It. I'll give you her birth date.
Okay.
It's March 15th.
March 15th, yeah.
1975.
By the way, we could still take some calls. It doesn't matter to us that if somebody doesn't want to call.
Yes, I can actually, I'll just give our number out. It's 1-877-876-5227. Once again, that's 1-877-876-5227. If anybody would like to have anything talked about with Hassan or directed in a certain direction, please feel free to call.
Yeah, but if they do want to write to us, their email is stargaze. STARGAZE at astrotrends.net. ASTROTRENDS.net. And maybe Ingrid, you can give my number also.
Yes, absolutely. The direct line to Hassan during the week is 416-497-9000. And Hassan, I have that one memorized. So I'm sure a lot of your new clients will actually have that memorized once they start talking to you too. Once
no, this this actress actually, she has Venus in Aries also like him. So
now we're talking about Eva Longoria right now.
Yes. Yeah. This basketball player, they're very compatible actually.
Yes, they are.
She has Venus Moon conjunction in Aries, so she definitely is not like a subservient housewife at all. And Venus in Aries indicates that she likes men who take charge and who are sporting or athletic. And she has Mercury in the sign of Aquarius, and he has Mercury in Gemini. So intellectually, also they are very well suited. But her Saturn touches off his Venus also, Venus Saturn and Mars. There's a bit of a conflict there. It can dampen his emotions. But he's born with that. In fact, if he wasn't born with that, he would be like a playboy. So Saturn definitely makes him much more, you know, wants to have long-term relationship. It's very interesting. I saw about a lot of basketball players were like that. They were not really into, you would think that they were a very flirtish striker, but they're not. They're rather into themselves. And this is a clear indication for that Venus Saturn thing.
But they're so in love. I mean, you can see their interviews.
Oh, they both are identical. That's very, very compatible also.
Yeah.
Very compatible, yeah.
So it just goes to show that you don't have to have an older man. You could actually have a younger man if you're looking for someone and still be compatible.
But he likes other old women or very mature women. And by the way, I was looking at Drew Barrymore's chart. It's a very, very interesting chart, too. She has Venus close to Jupiter. Anybody who has a Venus-Jupiter aspect is an incredibly wealthy aspect. And it's an aspect of easy wealth. But unfortunately, it can also drive people to all kinds of, like, playboy bunnies will also be born with that. It's like an easy aspect. And many criminals are also born with that when they take the easy route. And somebody offers them $30,000 or something, they sure I'll do it. And then, but it's like a high-class escort girl. That's a Piscean thing. That's the one aspect. But it's like art of love. Like Geisha girls also know that. But when I think of Venus and Pisces, I think of belly dancing and Arabian Nights and all the harems and
very
beautiful
sexy,
silk and that whole atmosphere. The way?
That's very sexy.
It's sort of a more sensual
right.
aspect, yeah. Now, she has Mercury in the sign of Aquarius, Drew Barrymore. So it's quite a brilliant aspect, just like this basketball player's girlfriend has that. And it can be sort of manipulative, but she definitely has Mercury in Aquarius trying to Uranus. And she belongs to this humanitarian age group, which is Neptune, being the sign of Sagittarius. And so she has a bit of a smart crook without really being one. That says, I really like, you know, if you see her in the Vogue, they had beautiful, beautiful dress that she was wearing. My nieces own that too, and they create fantasies for event planning. I mean, they're amazing. On the double bag, you'll see candles everywhere, and it's very strange, like even on the television and all that, and they're all dripping. And that is, I mean, they love the ocean, the water, so she does have a beautiful
Yes, and she's got quite the fashion sense, so you're right about that. Now, there's somebody that I want to talk about that stayed actually here in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I am, at Sanctuary Resort and Spa, and they were spotted here, which is Jennifer Aniston, and her birth date is February 11th.
Actually, I do have her chart.
1969.
Yeah, I think I remember her chart by heart, actually.
And Vince Vaughn, her boyfriend.
Are they there right now?
No, they're not here, but they were spotted here just recently.
Oh, I see, Jennifer, let me just her chart. I remember her, you know, the thing, she's got a bit of a crazy aspect in her chart. She has Venus in Aries, and I do have a chart, actually, the exact time of birth and everything,
So that's February 11th, 1969.
Yeah.
And she was born in Sherman Oaks, California.
Yes. At 6:46 in the morning, so she's Aquarius rising, and she has Mercury in Aquarius, like Drew Barrymore, but she has Venus in Aries, and it's a Venus-Uranus opposition, which is definitely not like a childbearing type thing. She's very, very independent, and ironically, she will actually get along really well with with Angelina Jolie.
Really?
Yeah, they had met in different circumstances. They probably.
Well, that's probably why Brad Pitt probably dated both of them.
I mean, but she has Mars Neptune conjunction, which is a real nightmare thing. She was born with that. It's like, you know, Marilyn Monroe died on that transit, JFK Jr. died on that transit, and so did Princess Diana. And Jennifer was born with that. So that's why I know they're getting drunk, for example, or trouble with the law. She's born with that crazy generation, the 60s generation, but Mars in Scorpio conjunction Neptune becomes like a cult. And that definitely is a real wild side. And even the Sex and the City that she does, that's the one she does, doesn't she?
No, Jennifer Aniston doesn't do that, no.
Well, who does that one?
That's Jessica Parker.
Jessica Parker, I always keep on continuing. But she was caught with, drinking alcohol, for example, or speeding tickets with Vince. Vince is a Sagittarius, actually.
Yes, he was born March 28th, 1970. And he was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I'm sorry, what was the date of birth?
March 28th. 1970.
March 28th. I thought he was Sagittarius for some reason. I guess so. Aries has Mercury in Aries, so they do get along well. And Venus is also in Aries, like her, so he likes his aggressive type of women also.
So let's get some juicy gossip, Hassan. Let's see. Is there any marriage in their charts if you compare the two, or is there commitment in the forefront of their relationship?
You know, they both have Venus in Aries, but the thing is, her Saturn sits right on top of his Venus. So on the one side, she stops him from being like a playboy.
Yes.
The last 2.5 years was very difficult for him also. But this is actually very good. He's very much interested in commitment now. The relationship and all that, she's going through a real nightmare period in the whole month of July. So June, July, it's a really strange, scary type of headlines from her. That whole age group, Tom Cruise, and especially her. She's got this crazy side of getting touched on by Mars. And it's coming from her 7th house of marriage. No, there's an element of strife in a relationship coming up in July. End of June, the month of July is not the best. And also in the month of November, she'll have to be very, very careful, even in driving, etc. But they are very compatible, actually, though. Both
are
Venus are in Aries, and they are Mercury sextile each other, so it's definitely quite a strong person. He does have this control. He's a good comedian, actually, because Mercury in Aries.
Yes, he's quite funny.
Yeah, and he likes to get things his way. Yeah, many directors are born with that. Charlie Chaplin was born with that, actually. So it's quite an interesting relationship, yeah. So
you see them lasting for quite some time.
Really, yeah. And she does like people who are, you know, who stand up in a crowd also. She definitely likes that aspect, yeah.
Well, that would be a good thing that if they actually connected and actually she was happy, especially after the relationship with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but I think she's a real actress in this aspect. Like, she's just being sorry and all that. But Angelina Jolie is 10 times a better mother, honestly.
Yeah.
We're almost coming to an end. So, Ingrid?
Yes, Hassan?
We have to say back that from that beautiful resort of yours.
Yes, the sanctuary.
And
it's absolutely beautiful. If any of our listeners have an opportunity to come here, I'm sure they would really appreciate it.
And today, by the way, the moon is in Taurus today, which is the last theme. Just for about 30 seconds, we'll play, and then you'll sign off. Remember that Dean Martin?
Yes, Dean Martin, absolutely. Good night, Hassan.
And with that, we'll say good night.
Thank you very much for
all
the information.
See you next Wednesday.
And see you next Wednesday, absolutely.
Until next time.
And God bless.
Tune into our show again.
Good night to our listeners.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.